This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Hey, DIAH mamas, Sarah here, and I want to take a quick second to tell you about something that I made for you. Yes, you, moms just like you and me, who are clear that we need to take time for ourselves and experience balance, but sometimes we aren't quite sure how to do it. And I get it. So I created the Balanced Mama Moment audio series, an audio experience that dives into what it means to make a balanced mama moment for yourself and how you can apply that to all areas of your life and help you in this crazy journey that is motherhood. So go to sarahbivens.com and click on Balanced Mama right now to learn more and to sign up. Again, that's sarahbivens.com and click on Balanced Mama. Hey, I'm Sarah. When planning our home birth, my husband Matthew and I were really frustrated by the lack of empowering and honest home birth resources. So we created this podcast to start a new conversation for moms and families like us. This is Doing It at Home.
What's going on, everybody? Matthew Bivens here, and welcome to another episode of the Doing It at Home podcast. Today, I'm bringing you a conversation I had with Jessica and Seth Burdett, and they share the birth story of their amazing, beautiful baby, Eve. What I thought was great about Jessica and Seth's home birth story is that they made the switch from the traditional OB hospital route to home birth at around 35 weeks. I love that. And they ended up working with the Atlanta Birth Center, which is the same place that Sarah and I researched when we were looking into our options. So if you live in or around the Atlanta area, I highly recommend you check them out. They have a very, very holistic approach to birth. They're incredibly mom-focused, and overall, there's some really awesome people. So that's the Atlanta Birth Center, and Eve was technically the first baby delivered by the Atlanta Birth Center, so that's pretty cool as well. I think their story is a fantastic one, and there's a part in it where you're going to hear Seth talk about some unforeseen circumstances that went down with their midwife as she was heading to their house. There's actually a protest going on in the area, and that slowed her down. And so Seth had to step in and act as the doula, which is, I'm sure, scary, but also exciting. And he did a great job, as you're going to hear. Also, finally, Jessica has put her birth story completely written out on her website. So if you'd like to go check that out, you can go read the birth story. Her website is jessburdette.com, JessBurdette.com, and you can go check that out. So with no further ado, let's jump into Jessica and Seth's birth story.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jessica and Seth, welcome to the Doing It at Home podcast. How are you two doing tonight?
Thanks. We're good. How are you?
Awesome. I'm fantastic. I'm doing really well. And this is cool because for a few reasons, we're doing like an evening conversation. You know, it's what, 8:20 something over here in Atlanta. And what time is it where you guys are? About an hour? It's like 7 something?
Yep, 7:23.
Yeah, so we're having like an evening conversation, which is pretty cool. We don't do that a whole lot here on the podcast. And another thing is that I'm holding it down for the Matthew-Sarah duo here. Sarah is away, so I'm holding it down tonight. So we're going to have a very cool conversation and just very excited to have both of you here. So again, thank you.
Welcome. Excited to be here.
Very cool. So why don't we kick things off a little bit by you all just telling us about your family. Tell us about a little bit about yourselves, where you're from, all that good stuff.
So we grew up in Utah. We got married in Utah, and then we moved to Atlanta pretty quickly for stuff to do grad school. And that's where we lived for 2 years. That's where Eve was born. We just have the one little girl. She's just a couple months older, I guess, than your Maya. Mm. So she's 15 months old now. And we actually just moved to Fort Worth, Texas for Seth's first job.
That's awesome. So 15 months. Now, I don't know baby milestones, so this might be a dumb question, but has she said her first words yet?
Yes, she has. She does a lot of animal noises, like the cat is probably my favorite. She goes,
oh, that's awesome. That's super cool.
But she says mama and dada and backpack.
Oh, wow. And advanced.
Yeah, backpack was her first word.
That's so cool. Well, I'm looking forward to that myself, but awesome. So one of the things that Sarah and I thought was so cool about your guys' story, you mentioned it a minute ago. You said that you moved to Atlanta, and while you were in Atlanta, you were looking into the Atlanta Birthing Center, weren't you?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Can you tell me a little bit about your research and kind of what led you to Atlanta Birthing Center?
Yeah. So before we even moved out there, I knew that we'd probably want to be starting our family in Atlanta. And so I did some research while I was still in Utah. And I actually found Anjali Hinman, who's like the director, I guess, over the whole center. I found her online, and all I knew was that she was a midwife, and she just looked amazing. I really connected with her. And so it was kind of like a dream, a wish that she could be my midwife when I delivered. And then fast forward when we actually moved to Atlanta, I kind of forgot about that. And we just started going to the nearest hospital. And it took us the baby and I getting into an accident and having to spend a night.
Car accident.
Yeah, car accident. Having to spend a whole night and a day in the hospital before I realized, okay, I do not want to give birth in the hospital. What were those other options I was exploring before?
So that brought you back to Atlanta Birthing Center.
Yeah, which hadn't even been built yet, and so we weren't too sure that was going to work out, but we got in touch with the ladies who worked there, and they agreed to, you know, do the rest of our prenatal checkups and everything. And we got really close with Crystal, who's there. She did all our prenatal stuff. And then they said, you know, if the birth center isn't open in time or if the baby comes early or whatever, would you rather give birth in the hospital or at home? And I said, well, I'd rather do home. So our plan B was the home birth. And they came over to our house one time and kind of talked with us about how it would go. And they looked at all our rooms in our little teeny condo. And so that was kind of on our radar, but we were planning to be in the birth center.
Yeah, and one of the things that we didn't know until kind of late in the pregnancy was you can switch your provider pretty much at any time. I think we switched over to the birth center at like 34 weeks or 35 weeks.
Oh, okay. So from the hospital and OB to the birth center at about 35?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And
cool.
So, and we had, I think, I don't know if other people feel this way, but we originally kind of felt like, oh, well, the first person, like the first doctor you go and see and you start doing all your ultrasounds and stuff with, that's kind of who you have to go with. Yeah. And one of our friends had mentioned that they had switched kind of late in their pregnancy And so when we contacted the birth center, they said, I think they have a cutoff at like 36 or 35 weeks or something like that. So we just kind of like scooted right underneath that line.
Cool.
But yeah, so I think that's kind of one of our big takeaways was like, you're not roped into delivering at the place you've been going just because that's where you happen to start going.
I'm so happy that you mentioned that, because I know there's listeners right now who didn't know, you know, like Sarah and I didn't know. It wasn't until, I mean, we switched on the first trimester, and I think it was somebody gave us some, like, basically let us know, hey, you can change at any time. I think it was one of the documentaries or movies, video series that we were watching. But I'm just happy that you mentioned that, because I know there's somebody right now who just isn't really feeling the current provider they have and didn't know if they could switch, who hearing you just say that you guys switched at 35 weeks, it's like, yeah, you really have the option to change and do whatever you want.
Yep, it's your birth, you know?
Yeah.
You're in charge.
So what led you...
So it worked out.
Or go ahead.
I was just going to say it worked out really well for us.
That's awesome. I'm happy about that. Now, what led you all to look into sort of alternative birth plans in the first place? Back before you actually moved to Atlanta, Jessica, when you were just doing your research, what led you down that path?
Well, my mom had 6 kids. I was the first, and the first couple kids she had at the hospital. And then she kind of went more and more towards home birth, and the last 4 kids were birthed at home. The last kid was birthed in the tub, and she did hypnobirthing. It was very just relaxed and natural. And so I had heard all of her stories growing up. And so I kind of had that at the back of my mind. I knew that natural and home birth was possible and that it could be a beautiful thing. So I always kind of wanted that. And that's why I did some research into midwives, because I know Utah is like a pretty big hub for natural and home birth. And so I wondered if that was even available in other states. So that's what kind of got me on that path.
Oh, very cool. I didn't know that about Utah. That's cool.
Yeah, apparently they have like big conferences and stuff. When we told our midwife that we were from Utah, she's like, oh yeah, I go out to Utah for conventions and other stuff about birth. So,
wow.
Kind of cool.
Now, Seth, what were your feelings towards birth, you know, when you all started having your conversations and you started, you know, Jessica was doing her research, did you just assume it was going to be a hospital? Did you, like, how did you feel about all of that?
Yeah, well, so I have a cousin that had babies at home, and I always thought she was crazy. Like, that's kind of like what the crazy people have their babies at home, and the normal people all have their babies at the hospital. That being said, my mom had me and my 2 little brothers in a hospital, but without any interventions. And so I was supportive of like natural birth, because that's kind of what I grew up hearing, like my mom's story about having babies naturally. But she was always in a hospital. So when Jessica and I got married, I knew she wanted to have natural births, and I had kind of talked her into doing a natural birth at the hospital. And in my mind, it was kind of like, oh, that's the same thing. Like, you want a natural birth, you can have a natural birth in the hospital. It's the same as having a natural birth at home. And so I was kind of nervous. I tend to, I don't want to say I'm a worrier, but I consider a lot of possibilities all the time. Like, I'm, you know, constantly thinking about things that could happen or different scenarios. And so it worried me to not have a baby at hospital, because, you know, you never know what could happen. Like, there's all, you know, what if something goes wrong, or all those fears that I had.
Yeah.
I think the thing that really helped me to be more comfortable with it is we took a hypnobirthing class. And just learning about, and a big part of the class was the hypnobirthing portion of it, but a large part of the class was also just birth education, I guess you could say. They went over like what is actually happening during the birth and different like kind of all the stages of birth. And so learning about how babies are born and that whole process really helped me feel more comfortable doing it outside of the hospital. And then another big kicker was spending the night in the labor and delivery ward after Jessica's car accident. And just having a miserable experience in the hospital really kind of helped me get over this idea that babies had to be born in hospitals. And when we went and toured the birth center, and I was super excited to have a baby at the birth center. It was like the perfect middle ground for us because it was across the street from the hospital.
Oh, that's cool.
But it was like a birth center, and the rooms are set up to feel very homey. and so it was like the perfect compromise for me. Like I could, if something went wrong, hospital is literally across the street.
Yeah.
And, you know, but we still have kind of this home birth atmosphere. It'll be all natural, midwives and stuff. So it was kind of a perfect compromise. And the birth center was scheduled to open on July 18th and our baby was due on July 26th. So
that's perfect.
It was going to be perfect. Yeah, I was like, this is going to be great. I was like, we're not even going to need this backup plan because, you know, it's 2.5 weeks before, the birth center should open like a week and a half before we are even going to have a baby. So it should be fine.
Now, Seth.
But he came a little early.
Yeah. Well, when did he come or when did she come?
Well, she was born on July 10th.
So she would have missed that birth center opening a little bit.
Yeah, so she was the first baby that the birth center ever delivered.
That's so cool.
But she wasn't born in the birth center, but the birth center staff, she was the first one that they delivered.
Would you be open to sharing one or two of the fears that you had? You know, I'd love for you know, the partners and the boyfriends and the husbands out there just to hear that. And then Jessica, I'm curious on how you handled, you know, fears coming from Seth.
Yeah, so, I mean, the biggest fear I had was, you know, there'd be some complication and the baby would be, like, all crooked or something and they'd have to do a C-section. You know, that was, like, my worst fear was something would go wrong and we would need, like, an emergency C-section. And so I was worried about having a baby at home because it's really hard to do a C-section in your own house. And so that was probably like my biggest fear was like, we would just have some sort of complication and there wouldn't be a hospital there to help us with it.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, Jessica.
So the biggest thing probably that I did, when Seth was expressing these things to me was just research, and I read articles and just found different studies and things that talked about the safety of home birth. And anytime I would come across anything that said, you know, home birth is statistically as safe or if not safer than hospital birth, I would always show it to Seth. It's like, oh, look at this. Did you get this? I would just read him parts of articles. And then going to that class, like you said, really helped too, to just educate us, learn about like how midwives are trained to handle situations as well. And
yeah, another thing that helped was Jessica's mom had four babies at home and they were all delivered by the same midwife. And I think they said the midwife had a record of like 600 babies delivered and only two needed to go to the hospital to get a C-section.
Wow.
So, I mean, and that is a totally different statistic than a hospital has, you know, where a hospital has way more C-sections than that. And so just hearing like, oh, this midwife, you know, the midwife knew what she was doing and she knew how to deliver a baby. And so she had this awesome record of, you know, out of like 600 births, only two needed C-sections. And so that was comforting, and we were a low risk pregnancy to begin with, so it was it was fairly easy, I guess, for me to kind of work my way through those fears.
Well, I appreciate you sharing them. And Jessica, I appreciate you sharing as well, because, you know, fears are normal. You know, like it's something that happens with whatever type of birth that you decide on. So, you know, I think just putting them out there and saying like, hey, it's okay to think this. It's okay for your mind to go to that place. And then to hear about some of the ways that you can alleviate some of those fears. And what I heard was really education, you know, and informing yourself, being more educated and doing it by reading and attending classes and things like that. That really helped the two of you. And so I just appreciate you all sharing, because I know there are people out there right now who just heard you share and you know, are going to be inspired to go and then educate themselves a little bit more.
Yeah. It's worth it. We tell all our pregnant friends and family now to check out all their options.
Yeah, absolutely. So Jessica, tell me a little bit about your pregnancy experience. What was that like?
My pregnancy went pretty smoothly. I didn't have a lot of like the morning sickness. But I could tell that the baby did not like eggs, because every time I had eggs for breakfast, I would throw up. But that was the only time I threw up during my pregnancy.
So no, Eve was like, no, I don't want those eggs.
Yeah, she still won't eat eggs.
Oh, really? That's it. That'll be a good thing to tell her years down the road when she's older.
Yeah, it's funny because she'll eat pretty much everything except eggs.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That is too funny.
So I didn't really have like crazy cravings or anything like that. I mean, I had somewhat normal pregnancy symptoms, I guess. Like I had aches and pains. Sometimes it was uncomfortable sleeping, like especially towards the end. But I would say that the pregnancy went pretty well. I was able to keep working through most of it, and it was good.
That's wonderful. That's awesome. That's awesome. So you're experiencing a pretty smooth pregnancy, and it's now getting, you know, May comes around, June comes around, it's getting closer to that guest date. How are you all preparing your space and preparing yourselves for Eve's birthday?
What? That's over here laughing.
You know, we were expecting, you know, July 26th, was kind of drilled in their head. And it was going to be kind of cool because July 26th is also the day that Jessica and I started dating.
Oh, that's cool.
Years before Eve was. Like, oh, this is perfect. You know, it's meant to be July 26th. And so we had done little bits of preparation. Like we had a little nursery rigged up with a crib and a changing table and stuff. But on July 9th came around, we still had no newborn diapers at all. Because, you know, we had weeks. I was in grad school, so I was, you know, really busy, and Jessica was working, and so it was kind of like, oh, well, you know, we've got time. We had a bunch in the showers and gifts and things. People had given us, like, size 1s and 3s and 5s, but we didn't have any newborn diapers. But, yeah, so then when we woke up on July 9th,
We didn't really do like a ton of, I mean, you don't have to prepare like a hospital bag if you're not going to a hospital. We didn't really do that much in our house either.
One thing we did do a lot was we were taking the hypnobirthing class. And so we had done a lot of the hypnobirthing practicing like every day or a couple times a week. So we had done a lot of that. Practicing for the birth, but
but since she came 2.5 weeks early, like we really hadn't like set up the birthing space really for it or anything. It kind of just all happened.
She's like, you know what, I'm ready, I'm gonna surprise them. Because I'm sure, well, I don't know if I'm, did your did the women at the Atlanta Birthing Center, were they saying things like, oh, you know, first time moms, the baby normally comes late? Because we heard that all the time.
We had just heard that the guest date, you know, could be too early, it could be too late. Like, But we were expecting her to come, you know, maybe a day or two earlier, or a day or two late.
Two and a half weeks. Not 2 weeks. All right. So it's July 9th and you're just going about your day, doing your thing. Seth, you've got school things going on, and you know, Jessica, you're doing everything except buying newborn diapers. And how did you know that labor was beginning?
Well, so it was a Saturday, and I woke up super early that morning with the Rascal Flatts song "Feels Like Today" stuck in my head, and that part of the song "Feels Like Today" just kept running through my head, and I was like, "Oh, that's kind of funny."
Wasn't it "I Want to Be Where"?
That was later. But yeah, so I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. And my contractions, I started having contractions, and I didn't really have a lot of Braxton Hicks contractions. So it was like pretty different for me. It's like, okay, I think something is happening. But we just went about our day. We helped somebody move, or I sat and watched Seth help somebody move. And
say,
we went
wow.
to a bridal shower. Yeah, I just sat. And then we actually had our baby shower that day.
Our
birthing class. So, which was like our second to last class, right? We didn't get to go to the final class, which I'm always going to wonder what I missed in that final class. And yeah, my contractions were getting closer and closer together, and I was noting them, and Seth was kind of writing down the times, but that didn't really happen until the evening, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, so she had really small, and you know, in hypnobirthing, they call them pressure waves.
Mm-hmm.
So she was having small ones that she could do like their self hypnosis. And so we helped somebody move in the morning, then we went to our birthing class, and then about the middle of the day, some of the ladies at our church threw Jessica a baby shower. And so we were at that, and by the end of the baby shower, her pressure waves had kind of started to go away. Like they were slowing down, they weren't as strong. And we'd been kind of in contact with our midwife throughout the day, Crystal, because, you know, like she's having pretty consistent contractions. They were, you know, they're kind of far apart in the morning, and they weren't really strong. And they picked up a little bit, but then by the time the baby shower was over, they'd slowed down a lot. And Jessica took a nap about 3 o'clock or so. And then she woke up at 5, and that's when the contractions or the pressure waves started to pick up again. About the time she was waking up, they started to get stronger and more frequent. And so and we had told our parents and our family in the morning, like, hey, you know, maybe today's the day, because Jessica's having these contractions all day. And then by about 4 or 5 o'clock, I texted all of my siblings and just said basically, like, oh, false alarm, you know, like they're dying down. So no baby today. False alarm.
And my poor mom, we didn't invite very many people at all to come to the birth. We wanted it to be small and intimate. And so my mom was planning to come. But so Saturday morning when she heard that that might be the day, she was visiting family in Canada. And so she was really bummed. Like, I don't think I can make it. You know, she already had her plane ticket in a couple of weeks. And so she was sad when that happened, and she actually hurried and booked a flight for the next day to come out and try to make it in time.
And that would have been the 10th?
Yeah, she booked a ticket for the 10th. Yeah, they were in Canada celebrating Jessica's great-grandma's 90th birthday.
That's awesome.
Her birthday was on Sunday, and on the 10th, and she was turning 90. And so there's a bunch of family up in Canada celebrating that.
So then evening time, things start to pick up quite a bit. And they had given us a time, Crystal said, you know, when they're like 7 minutes apart, call me or text me. So we called her and she's like, okay, call me when they're 5 minutes apart. So we're just keeping track and we let her know when they were 5 minutes apart. And she says, okay, you're probably fine, you know, to go to sleep for the night.
Well, about 9:30, I decided I better go get some diapers just in case.
Yeah.
And
smart.
One of the big reasons Jessica didn't want to have a baby in the hospital is they don't let you eat while you're in labor. And Jessica was super opposed to that. You know, she wanted her snacks and her drinks and stuff. So I went to Kroger to go get some diapers and a ton of snacks because, you know, I know how much she wanted to be able to eat while she was in labor.
Now, were you just like running through Kroger or were you walking peacefully? What was that like?
I mean, I had a determined pace, I would say. Like, I wasn't just, you know, moseying around talking to people at Kroger, but I wasn't like panicking running through the aisles either.
Oh, I'm picturing like the parents in Home Alone running through the airport. That's what I'm picturing.
Yeah, not quite like that.
And Jessica, when you were experiencing those pressure waves, what were you doing? Were you walking around, sitting down, just sort of trying to find that comfortable position?
Well, because she still had said that I could go back to sleep, I was trying to sleep. So I was in bed, and I would try to just completely relax when one would come on. And it was really cool, actually, feeling the hypnosis kick in. Like, I would start to feel, you know, it's really, really a lot of pressure. And I would start to feel it come on, and then I would, okay, hypnosis, and I would try to just put myself at complete rest, and I would like literally feel it go away. And I knew that it was still there and my body was still experiencing it. But so I was just focused in, zoned in on this hypnosis stuff. And I was mostly laying in bed. I think I might have actually taken a warm bath when Seth went to Kroger. And then besides that, I was mostly in bed.
Wow, yeah, that's really cool. The hypnobirthing works so well. That's awesome. And what I'll do is I'll put a link in the show notes for everyone who's listening to the hypnobirthing resource. And maybe you guys can give me a link to the actual class that you all attended, and I'll throw that in there as well.
For sure. Yeah, we did a hypnobaby
class.
Which I guess is pretty different, but we loved it. It was awesome.
Sarah and I did it as well. Yeah, we did hypnobabies.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, we really liked our instructor.
Mm-hmm. Nicole.
Yeah, Nicole. She did a good job.
Very cool. Okay, so yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, just to kind of continue, so about midnight or so, I talked to our midwife again, and she says, you know, hey, why don't you just guys try to sleep, and let's touch base again in the morning. You know, babies might not come tonight, so just try to sleep, and we'll talk again soon.
And I think that maybe the reason Seth had called Crystal is because I made him call Crystal, because I was like, I think it's baby time. You know, however far apart or close these contractions are, like, I feel like it's coming. And so he called her and she said, it's okay, go to sleep. Like, okay.
Yeah, I don't think they were 5 minutes apart yet.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But things really picked up after that. Didn't my water break, like, really soon after
that? So at 12:30, Jessica had a really strong pressure wave and her water broke. We were just laying in bed, and then all of a sudden, it was like, boom, here it goes.
So most of my pressure waves I could handle with the hypnosis, and Seth said he didn't even know some of the times when I was having one because I was just so calm and serene. But those last two before my water broke were just, like, they just overcame me. I reached out, grabbed onto Seth's arm, and just looked at him, probably with this look of terror. And so that happened once, that happened again, and then at the end of that second pressure wave, my water broke, and it just was like a mess, water everywhere. And I think about the exact same time as that happened, I also threw up. And so it was just like fluids everywhere coming out both ends. We had made the really poor decision of having bratwurst for dinner that night. So it was just like miserable. I felt disgusting. Maybe TMI, I don't know. But
no,
that's... Yeah, I don't know how much detail do your listeners want.
Go into tons of detail. Tell me what was in the bratwurst. We want detail. So you've got those two.
Yeah, so I would recommend
pressure waves. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I would recommend to anyone who's about to have a baby, just stay away from bratwurst, because that is not a fun food to have come up and not a fun taste to have in your mouth all night while you're having a baby.
I can imagine.
So Jessica threw up and made a mess. And so I helped her to the bathroom. And we kind of got her cleaned up and we switched our sheets and started a little laundry. And
so I don't know how Seth did this, but he walked me to the bathroom whilst cleaning up my mess, going to unlock the front door, texting the midwife. I swear he did all of it at the exact same time. Throwing the sheets into the laundry, like, I felt like he was with me that whole time, but somehow he did all of that.
That's awesome. Holding it really down, nice. Seth.
Yeah. Well, so the midwife had, the birthing center had kind of instructed us, like, hey, when we're on our way, just go unlock the door so that way you don't have to come to the door when we knock. Like, we can just come straight in. So I texted Crystal, said, hey, water broke. I think it's go time. And she said, I'll be on my way. I'm going to swing by the birth center and grab some stuff, and then I'll see you at your house in a bit. And so I remade the bed and kind of got Jessica cleaned up and came back into the bed.
No, we were in the bathroom.
No, we came back into the bed and we threw up again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, so we came back into the bed after she was all clean, fresh sheets on, and then she threw up again. And so restarted the process, took her back to the bathroom, put more sheets in the washer, and switched sheets to the dryer. And then while we were waiting, we only had two sets of sheets. And so while we were waiting for the first sheet to dry or to wash and dry, then we went to the bathroom.
Yeah, so the next portion of the birthing time was spent with me sitting on the toilet and Seth sitting on the edge of the tub. We have like a tiny condo, like 725 square foot condo, and the bathroom was tiny too. So we're like knee to knee, and Seth is just like reassuring me through this. He's having me just look him in the eye, and he's telling me to relax and to breathe.
Yeah. So some of the hypno baby's cues, I was trying to use like those cue words to help her kind of engage with the hypnosis.
Nice.
Yeah, and it helped a lot.
But so July 10th was right in kind of the heat of the protests about the police shootings. And that whole thing that happened, summer of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And so the night Eve was born, there were protests in Atlanta. And because of the protests, our midwife couldn't get to our apartment. The protests went basically all the way around our neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
And so it took what would have been like a 15-minute drive. It took Crystal a little bit over an hour to get to us.
Wow.
And so we were, in the bathroom having a baby.
Seth was my doula.
Yeah, so I was
and
the
my
doula.
Mom and my husband.
And your cleanup crew.
Yeah.
It was awesome. But you know what? We got that intimate birth experience that we wanted.
Yeah.
And looking back afterwards, we just felt so empowered and so connected as a couple, having to go through that just us. We actually went all the way through to where I was pushing. Seth didn't realize it, but I was actually pushing as we were sitting there. And by the time the midwife got to me, she said, let's move this to the bed and just check you, see how things are going. So they helped me come to the bed. She checks me, and I was crowning already.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, so she had just arrived, like literally that was the first thing she did, and then she texted the crew, hey, get over here, it's baby time, So Seth got me all the way to that point just by himself. And it was really just a really cool thing that we were able to do all that by ourselves.
You guys are rock stars. That is so awesome.
It was really, really cool.
Yeah, so then the last part of the story, the rest of the team came. We had a nurse and then another midwife. So there were...
And Anjali.
Yeah, Anjali was the midwife that came, which was like Jessica's dream to have Anjali there. So there was the three of them from the birth center, me and Jessica, and Eve's head, or the top of Eve's head, I guess. And so we all got around Jessica in the bed, and
Seth was right behind me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I think about time the midwives came, I went to the kitchen to get all those treasured snacks that Jessica wanted. And we had like a game plan. Like we had plans for like a water birth, and we had a birthing ball, and we were going to try all these, un-hospital positions, and we were going to eat food during the birth because it was. We were like trying to do like the anti-hospital experience.
Do everything else that you can't do.
Yeah, but when it came go time, I could barely get Jessica to even drink any Powerade. Like, she had like two sips of Powerade, and that was it. Out of all the snacks I bought, she didn't want anything. She didn't want to use the birthing ball. She didn't want to get in the tub.
We didn't have time to fill up the tub.
Yeah, we didn't have time to fill up the tub.
I don't think they even brought out the birthing ball. Like, everything just happened so fast.
And the only position she wanted to be in was on her back. And she didn't want anything to eat.
I was just focused. I was like, I am doing this thing right now that's taking absolutely every ounce of everything I have, like, don't even ask me any questions. I cannot focus on anything else.
Yeah, you were in your zone. You're in your power. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we pushed for another hour, about maybe a little bit over an hour. And then Eve was born at 2:52 a.m., I believe.
Yeah.
Wow. Now... What was the position that she was born in? Or what was your position, Jessica?
I was still just lying on my back. I mean, I was kind of propped up. Like, Seth maybe had a pillow or two behind him, and he was leaning against the back of the bed, and then I was leaning against him.
Okay.
I had my knees up. And
a midwife had each foot.
Yeah, I had the midwife holding my legs. I swear I pushed with every single muscle in my body. Like, it took... just everything I had.
And yeah, they were rubbing her legs because she said her legs were kind of cramping up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the things we really liked about the birthing center staff and was the whole birthing process was very Jessica directed. They never told her when to push or when to relax or anything. It was all Jessica's pace, and Jessica was just listening to her body and doing whatever her body was telling her to do, and Jessica was in charge. She said, rub my foot, hold my leg like this, rub this, I'm pushing now, okay, resting. Like, Jessica was the boss, and all of us just responded to everything Jessica needed and whatever she wanted, and I think that went a long way into making it so smooth, because she was only in, like, hard labor for 2 hours. From the time her water broke, Eve was born just a little bit over 2 hours later.
Wow.
And I think it just came just because Jessica was just listening to her body, and the midwives were super cooperative in allowing her to do that. I think the only time Crystal gave any indication to push was when she said, like, oh, one more push and I think she'll be out. I think that was like the last or the only cue at all.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Wow. When you look back on it, Jessica, how do you feel about just, how you showed up in that moment?
Just so empowered. Like, I don't know. It's this purpose, this fulfillment that I always knew, being a girl, like, that was my potential. But actually being in the moment and becoming a mother and in such strength and like power and self-directed was really, really empowering, just helping me realize what my potential is. And, you know, that not only could I birth this baby safely and well, but I could raise her and be the mom that she needed me to be, that I could do it.
Mm. Oh, that's beautiful. That's awesome. So
yeah, my friend Cammy calls it woman moment. It's your woman moment.
Yeah, I like that. Sarah would love that. Your woman moment. That's awesome. So when baby Eve was born, who caught baby Eve?
Crystal.
Yep. Yeah. Crystal caught her, and then she put her up on my belly. You know, I always pictured them putting her up on my chest, but I guess the cord wasn't quite that long. They put her on my belly, and I was just in shock and awe and not quite comprehending everything that just happened.
Yeah, oh, I bet. And what happened in the room when she was born?
Oh, we didn't even talk about, like, so we had, once the first and her other ladies got there, they saw that we had a couple candles on our dressers and things. They lit the candles, they lowered the light. Somebody grabbed my phone and started playing one of my Spotify stations. It was just relaxing.
Like church hymns.
Yeah, hymns. That's what I wanted to listen to. And that was another question they kept asking me, like, okay, since we're pushing, do you want something more like invigorating, like a more fun channel? I was like, nope, just like everything exactly as it is. I'm good. And so there were like these beautiful piano hymns playing in the background. So it was a really, really beautiful environment for Eve to be born into. And she made one little noise, right, when she came out.
Yeah, she cried as she came out.
And then she was quiet.
Yeah.
And they put her on me. It was beautiful.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, so we had asked if we could do the delayed cord clamping. We had heard, or in the class we had taken, a lot of good things about doing that and about not like washing off the baby right away and things like that. And so they, when Eve was born, they put Eve on Jessica's stomach, and Jessica just got to hold her for like 40 minutes or something like that.
Just to help me breastfeed her.
Yeah.
That didn't go so well. My pregnancy went really, really well, but breastfeeding was a struggle for us.
Was it a struggle just in that moment or for some period of time afterwards?
That was just like the moment of struggle that started them all.
It was probably about, it took about a month or so
probably
to get.
A couple months.
Well, and Eve had a double frenectomy done.
Yeah, she had a tongue tie and a lip tie, so we didn't realize that in the beginning, that it was hard for her. But
after that operation, then she nursed a lot better.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Wow.
But besides not really the nurse, it was just really, really beautiful. Seth took off his shirt, and he did skin-to-skin with Eve, too. He got to hold her, and oh, I just will never forget how much of a little peanut she looked like on his chest.
Oh, wow. That's such an awesome, that sounds like such a beautiful, amazing, transformative, empowering experience that you all had. That's really amazing.
Yeah. I just can't imagine it any other way now, looking back. Like, I can't believe that our initial plan was to have her in the hospital. It just would have been so, so different. Seth was probably just amazed at the placenta being born.
Oh, yeah. Talk about that.
Cool. The placenta is huge. It's like the same size as the baby, almost.
He thought it was so cool. He's like, Jessica, look at that. Jessica, look at that. I'm like, I don't care. I'm holding this baby.
I mean,
I don't know how many people have seen a placenta before a birth. Like, I had never seen a placenta before. I knew what it was, but.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. Did they do the Tree of Life thing with the placenta and show you all of that?
I don't remember. I don't think they did.
Oh, you guys should Google it. And everyone listening, you should Google it. I don't know what the phrase would be. Maybe Tree of Life placenta, but basically the connections from the umbilical cord to the placenta. It looks like tree branches, and it's beautiful. It's really beautiful, and it kind of brings the whole thing full circle when you see that. You know, it looks like roots and the leaves, and yeah, it's incredible.
Cool. Yeah, I love to look at that.
Yeah.
Wow. So I'm curious now. You know, you guys are parents to a beautiful 15-month-old baby. You had this amazing experience, and looking back, you know, can you share some words of wisdom to soon-to-be parents who are, you know, maybe they're in the research process, or maybe they've decided on a birthing center or a home birth, but just, you know, some sort of words of wisdom, maybe something that it would have been great for you to hear a year and a half ago.
For any pregnant, soon-to-be mamas, my biggest piece of wisdom is just to have faith in yourself and realize that women have been doing this since forever, and it's one of our callings, and it's, you know, kind of our birthright. Like, you were born with this potential to do this, and so you don't have to let a doctor or a midwife or anybody tell you how to do it. Like, it's your thing, it's your baby, and your body and your baby are going to work together to bring the baby into the world. And so just have confidence in that it's a natural process, and it's possible. It doesn't have to be scary. It doesn't have to be fearful. Just own it, and you can do it. Do some research too. For sure. Read some good books, look up articles, take a class, just get as much information as possible. I've had friends say, like, oh, I'm too scared to figure out. I don't want to learn more about it because I'm just going to get more freaked out the more I learn. But the more that they actually do go and research, the more calm they become, the more they realize that they were born to do this, that it's going to be fine.
Mm. I'm really glad you said that last part, because I think that can absolutely happen. The fear of just knowing all the details, and the fear of sort of seeing and understanding the process. But there's so much empowerment in having that understanding and confidence once you do have the understanding. So thanks for saying that.
Yeah, and it just depends on, you know, what kind of things you're looking for. Like, if you're looking at the horror stories and you're watching TV shows of birth, then yeah, maybe you're going to get freaked out.
Yeah.
But if you go to good resources and learn about, you know, whether it be hypnosis or the Bradley method, and watch some peaceful home births, that can really motivate you and help you get on a good path.
That's so true. That's so true, to just be very mindful of the resources that you do consume.
Yeah. For sure.
And Seth, what about you? What words do you have?
I would just echo that a lot. This kind of comes back to what we talked about before, but just really educate yourself on what options you have. I think a lot of people don't know what their choices really are, and so they just go into their birth thinking, well, I'll just do whatever, you know, the doctor tells me to do, or I'll do whatever, you know, whoever's there helping you tells you to do. And I think I would say it's a mistake that, you know, this is your birth experience, and so you should do it the way that you want to do it, but you're not going to be able to know how you want to do it unless you know all your options. So, you know, and maybe a home birth isn't for you, but you won't know that unless you do the research and look it up. And so I felt like there wasn't a time during the birth that I was scared. Like, I don't know if it's because I didn't realize Jessica was pushing and our baby was going to come out in the bathroom. But you know, I felt really prepared because we had taken the classes, we'd educated ourselves, we knew what choices we were making, and we knew the process, the different stages of labor and the birth, and how things were kind of supposed to go. And so I wasn't that nervous. I wasn't really nervous at all throughout the whole process because I felt really ready and prepared. So I would just say, educate yourself, know your choices, take a class or read books, or you got to do something. I don't just go in
with hoping, plan.
Yeah, don't go in without a plan. Mm.
Absolutely. I love that. Prepare. Just prepare yourself, educate yourself, empower yourself. I like that.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's been a really a blast and a pleasure chatting with you guys. I love your story. That is so cool. The picture, the visual that I have in my mind of baby Eve being born is just this peaceful, serene, just setting, just full of love, and that's awesome. I'm super, super happy for you all, and Eve is a very special, very loved baby.
She is.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity to share our story.
Absolutely, absolutely, and thank you both for just joining us and sharing and giving all the details and really just leaving our listeners with something inspirational and empowering and informative and all of that. So really, from Sarah and myself, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Our pleasure.
Yeah.
Quick note about the Doing It at Home podcast. Matthew and I are not doctors or medical professionals, and nothing we say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. If you have medical or health-related questions, please take them to a trained professional. We're here simply to entertain you with stories and conversations about pregnancy, birth, and parenthood.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved. Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.